Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis floats it up, and how about that direction from Lopez, who just redirects the ball off the window and good. Wow.
Bucks talk starts now.
Trae Young being crowded outside. He's going to throw it inside ball. Knocked away by Lillard. Picked up by Giannis, and that could be the nail in the coffin.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, the Bucks finding that redemption from a year ago, and I was talking about this with somebody who will remain unnamed during the game as it's going on. Somebody that's close to the team, we'll just say. And you were immediately getting into the discussion of, you know, is it in their best interest to not actually win this game and get basically a full week off now and not play again until Friday night? And the only reason why I at least entertained that was, you know, they put a good showing up here. Like, they were competitive. They never fell behind by double digits. And there wasn't any of these yo-yo effects in this game. This was a very well-played back-and-forth game that – it's a marked difference from last year in this situation, where it was a close game in the first quarter, and the Pacers, I think, outscored the Bucks by 15 or 16 in that second quarter. The Bucks made a bit of a charge in the third, but they could never climb that mountain in the fourth quarter. And you could just see, I don't know, it feels like maybe we should be concerned about this Pacers team. Maybe we should be concerned about some other things we're seeing with this Bucks team. It is still very early. I'll add that caveat. I'm not going to say everything is fixed and everything is cleaned up. But, Brandon, considering where we were 10 games into the season and some of the conversations that were starting to take place around this team, all the chatter that you're hearing, to see what this group has come together to do, and I'm not trying to compare the NBA Cup to the NBA Finals, but there's a lot of the little things that have stood out to me that have just been massively cleaned up. I think a credit goes to Doc Rivers for never once losing this group. A credit goes to the players. Bobby Portis has said it a number of times. Giannis has talked about it. Chris Middleton, since returning, has talked about it too. All of these guys, to a man, have said, look, we know the start we had basically sucked. We didn't expect that. We didn't expect our record to be what it was. But we knew that's not us. And we knew there was a variable of things that were in play there. We weren't shooting the ball well. We were obviously missing Chris Middleton. Maybe you needed, I know Marcus Johnson has talked about that, maybe you needed that wake-up call of sorts. But whatever it took, we've seen a totally different team. And today, this is one of those games that I think it could have easily gone off the rails if you're going to compare it to last year, because there's a lot of similarities between the Hawks and the Pacers. I think in narrative, in terms of how they play, there's not. But it could have been one of those games where this is the Hawks' chance. They've been a bit of the story that's building up this season. Man, look at what the Hawks are doing. Look at all those young guys. Look at what Jalen Johnson has started to do in their defense. This could have been the story of Atlanta saying, you know what? We're taking the spotlight here. We're doing to you what the Pacers did last year. We're the younger team. We're more athletic. We're going to run on you and make it challenging. And the Bucks were the team that was better in those spots today.
Yeah, and a resilient win too, Justin, because it felt like, to your point that you just made there, which I thought was fantastic, it felt like Trae Young was ready to go off, especially in that third quarter. I think he had like his own little
14 in the third.
Yeah, 14, yeah. So you're absolutely right. It felt like that could have been a game that, and we've seen that before, where teams just get hot and you do a lot defensively and you do a lot of switching and whatnot, and the Bucks are deep. They have a lot of depth. But it felt like in that third quarter, like, man, Bucks had that lead stretched out to double digits. It quickly gets tied, and then the Hawks jump out to a little lead, but the Bucks battled back, man. And this has kind of been, I feel like I say this quite a bit, that tells me that part of the identity of this team, Justin, is just a resilient group of guys that now we know what their roles are, right? We know what AJ Green knows what AJ Green needs to do. Andre Jackson Jr., now you have your, I don't want to take anything away from Damian Lillard, because he is, and we'll get to Damian Lillard as part of the game balls here, but Chris Middleton is your floor general. You can tell his presence on the floor means a lot as far as the communication goes for this team. I know there was a little bit of a mix up late in that game and a couple possessions, but that's okay. You got the win, can learn from it. But I think when Chris Middleton gets into this flow now your communication is even better, especially late in games. And it just feels like, man, they take a few punches, they get right back up, and they throw a few punches on their own. And that's it's a great win, because not only did you beat a team that blew you out on your home floor just December 4th, which is what, 2 weeks, so 10 days ago, you now have stacked back-to-back wins against two teams that you're likely going to run into in the postseason, and two teams that really give you fits. And I know Orlando wasn't fully healthy. They're going to be a different
team.
Not
even close to it.
But a little bit of caution there. But this Hawks team is good, and they just beat you, and you responded well. But I do have two game balls tonight, Justin. And I know the first one, I have said this on record, that he could get one every game. But when you go for 32 points, 14 rebounds, and probably the biggest number, in my opinion, for Giannis tonight was the 9 assists. And you and I, Justin, have talked at length about him getting people involved, and that's exactly what he did. To me, it rarely looked like on his first touch on any offensive possession outside of the transition buckets that he was trying to get other people involved. I felt he was incredible moving that ball around. And when you see Giannis moving the ball around and you're sitting on that bench and you're watching Giannis move the ball around, or you're on the floor watching Giannis move that ball around, it's contagious. Like, guys want to follow suit, and that's exactly what he did. 28 total assists for the Bucks tonight. So that speaks to the team, what the team did, and obviously what Giannis. But also, like, a little bit of a side note here, that block on Capella, I think it was late in that fourth quarter, there's only one player in the entire league that can do it, and you watched him. He's the best to be able to do what he does offensively and defensively. It was fantastic. It felt like I was watching the 2021 finals again. So Giannis gets the first one, the second game ball. Again, I know this seems kind of like a cheap, I'm giving you a little cheapy here, but it's got to go to Damian Lillard, man. Mr. Fourth Quarter, 25 points, 6 rebounds. But again, part of the reason he's getting the game ball, kind of like where Giannis is the assist numbers, Justin. He had 7 dishes tonight. When your two best players, when the best two players in the NBA, as far as duo goes, lead your team in that category, good things seem to happen with this team. So I will say, too, with I think it was under a minute left where he had that floater that essentially sealed the game. That's why you have Damian Lillard. He's your closer. He's your guy. He's the guy when you need a bucket late, Justin. There's not many players in the NBA that you're going to put in front of him. And real quick, a notable mention. Darvin Ham, 13-0 in the NBA Cup. He has yet to lose. An honorable mention. I won't give him a game ball yet. He's got to win Tuesday. But he's up there.
Well, he's not the one. So you mentioned Darvin Ham, and you just leave Torian Prince off that list then.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. Not a great night from Torian, I think he'll have a better night.
I think we're starting to see in Los Angeles, maybe it wasn't just Darvin Ham that was the issue here with the Lakers are currently experiencing. Yeah. But a couple of things that you brought up I do want to touch on here, but I do want to hear from everybody else listening as well, because we've heard a lot of pushback, especially from our regulars, about the NBA Cup and whether or not this is important. Do you even care what's going on here? But I think now that the Bucks are in the final, does that change how you viewed it? Or maybe you were pro-NBA Cup all along, seeing the Bucks have a chance to win this, even though we don't really know what this means quite yet. But the fact that they have a chance to win it, has that shaped your view at all of the NBA Cup? 855-616-1620 is the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. More after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Giannis the other way, 6:19 to play now in quarter number 3. Giannis from the left wing. He's got Capella in front of him. Pulls up, left free throw line extended, and knocks it down. Mid-range jumper going down for the Greek Freak.
Giannis with 32 points today, finished one assist short of another triple-double, and the Bucks improved to 14-11 on the season, beating the Atlanta Hawks 110-102. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us today on Bucks Talk as we dig into this one. The Bucks now have the number 11 offense in the league. not too far behind the 10th rated Miami Heat, the 9th rated Phoenix Suns, and you are about a point back of the Denver Nuggets. But the offense is continuing to move in that direction. Defensively, they are 13th overall in defensive rating season as a whole. We've kind of mentioned, here's what they've done since November 1st, and the only reason why I point that one out is you got off to a 1-4 start early in November, even though they dropped the first handful of those games. That's when you're starting to play the Cavs, and those were competitive games. You played the Celtics, you lost a competitive game, so you were starting to see movement in the right direction, even though the results weren't necessarily there. But I think it's just as big to point out for the entire season, 13th defensively, which is sitting right around that range that we had said coming in. We expect the offense to be top 10. It's basically there now, but I think it's got to be north of that. Like top 5, ideally, is what you're looking for offensively. I don't know if it gets there. You know, like 7 should be the number to shoot for, because there's some really good offenses and efficient ones out there. But just continue to move there. If you can finish better than league average defensively, but have a defense that finds an identity, what do you do well? Do you perform well in the clutch? Which I have not checked the Bucks' latest updates in those clutch numbers, but we've seen a handful of games recently where they've been very good in those spots. But 13th best defense season as a whole, and 11th best since November 1st. So I think we had this discussion 3 or so weeks ago, Brandon, but I think we're starting to see more than ever now. The identity of this team is becoming more and more defense, and you have Giannis, and you have a closer in Damian Lillard, and you have these other complementary parts. Chris Middleton's return, guys are hitting shots now. Like, we feel good about the shooting on the floor, but we have a closer in Damian Lillard. We have another floor general in Chris Middleton. We've got Giannis, and we trust our defense.
And Justin, if you were to ask me, you know, in this offseason or leading up to this year, you know, which would you rather have? You know, do you want a heavy offensive team and not so much defensively, or one way or the other? I'm going to take exactly the way you just spelled it out.
Yeah, we saw the other last year.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, too. And I know, because I think you and I are in lockstep as far as where their identity is. But when it comes into late game situations and clutch situations, so anything under, I don't know what the term is, but for me, anything under 4 minutes.
So clutch situations, as the NBA defines it, is any time once you get to the final 5 minutes of the game.
Okay.
At any moment in that 5 minutes and lower, if it is ever a 5-point or less difference in the game. So all of the minutes and seconds where it's a 3-point game and whatever in the final 5 minutes, that counts as clutch time.
To me, this team has been fantastic in those moments. And on both sides, offensively, they're able to score buckets, and defensively, they're able to get stops. I feel really good about where this identity is going. And I agree with you. I don't know if you're going to get in the top 5 offensively. Just feels like this year is kind of getting away from them as far as creeping into that top 5 offensive category with the teams that we have currently, especially in the Eastern Conference. But I'm telling you right now, man, defensively, that's where I would rather be there than offensively. And I think me and you might differ a little bit. I don't think they need to be in the top 5 offensively. I think if they're nearing the top 10, basically where they're at now offensively, I would rather that defensive number be ahead of that offensive number personally, because I think when it becomes those clutch situations, you have 3 guys on your team that have proven that they can deliver in those situations and get those buckets late. If you're able to get stops, more times than not, the game is going to be a closer game. I trust Damian Lillard, I trust Chris Middleton, and I trust Giannis to deliver for me late, just like you saw an hour or so ago in the fourth quarter against the Atlanta Hawks today.
So the offense, just to finish off that point, I am looking at the clutch numbers for the Bucks. They're 8-5 now in those situations.
That feels right, yep.
And, I mean, for the longest time, it was the Bucks and the Thunder were the only teams in the league that had not played in clutch situations, obviously for different reasons. The Thunder, I believe, still have the fewest at seven. The Thunder, Jazz, and Wizards have played in the fewest games with clutch situations. Obviously, the Thunder for much different reasons than the Jazz and the Wizards. But the Bucks have now had 13 of those games. They're 8-5. Their eight wins are the third most in the NBA. The Celtics, Cavs each have 10. The Rockets, Pacers, and the Phoenix Suns have each won 9 in those spots. The Atlanta Hawks are 8-6 in the clutch, but the Bucks are 8-5. Their defensive rating in those moments, they have played 59 minutes of clutch situations this year. Their defensive rating is a 99.2, which is second best in the league behind only the Orlando Magic. The offense has some work to do at a 106. That's in the bottom 10. But to that point, defensively, and this is what we saw today. Granted, the Atlanta Hawks missed some shots that we were seeing go in certainly last week in that matchup, and not necessarily earlier in the game because neither team shot the ball all that well from the outside. The Hawks heated up in the second half. But the Atlanta Hawks missed some very makeable shots down the stretch. Sometimes you need that luck. But there were other plays that the Bucks made. Certainly that block that Giannis had on Clint Capella. Other plays where they made it difficult. And this was not the Hawks really getting to their spots and scoring with ease like we saw last time.
Well, I'll agree with you there. But I'll also say for the Bucks, Justin, they didn't shoot the ball relatively well either. And A.J. Green was he fouled out in the game, only played 19 minutes. And I know he had 3 3-pointers, but Gary Trent didn't hit a shot tonight. He made 1 free throw. He's 1 for 2. That's not the Gary Trent that we've seen over the last month or so. And Taurean Prince, 2 for 8 tonight as well. So as much as the Hawks didn't really necessarily, they missed a lot of shots, so did the Bucks, man. I mean, if you get those numbers, a couple of those shots fall for this team. I mean, it's, I wouldn't say it's a comfortable win, but it's a little bit more comfortable with a minute left.
Yeah, I won't disagree with that. I mean, the point is more of, look, here's what the Bucks defense really did digging in. But yeah, I mean, A.J. Green was really the only efficient shooter from the outside at 3 of 6. I mean, Gary Trent Jr. had good looks. He went 0 of 4.
Sure.
Bobby Portis missed all 3 of his 3s. Dame,
he still looked good, though. Bobby looked good again.
And Bobby had a near double-double. Dame had a pretty rough game in terms of his efficiency. But again, it's a point that we've made before, is you look at those shooting nines, and especially the way he started the game. We've seen other point guards and other guards here, Brandon, in the past, where you start shooting the ball that way, you finish with 13 points. But Dame still gets to 25 because of his ability to get to the rim and finish there, and just the gravity and how much that can change things. So that, to me, has been a very consistent story throughout this season, is nights where Dame maybe doesn't have it, you look up and you still think, man, he got 25 points or he got 28 points. But Taurean Prince, 2 of 7 on 3s. 2 of 5 from Brook Lopez. Andre Jackson made the only one he took. So, yeah, the Bucks were not.
That was a big one he made, too, Andre. That was a big one. Yeah, that was, happy to see that again. And those are the shots you and I have talked about. You got to be able to, number one, take. I know you want to see him go to the rack a little bit more, and as do I. But when you're on your own island in that corner, a huge shot for him. I was happy to see that fall for him.
855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as the Bucks are headed to the final of the NBA Cup. Some defensive numbers I want to take a look at when we mention some areas that have really burned the Bucks in the past, but I thought they were excellent in this area tonight. Today, we'll dig into that coming up next.
Round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Here's Damian Lillard on the other end from Milwaukee. Dame calls for the screen, gets it from Portis. Now he'll fire one up from 3, and he cranks another one up and in. Damian Lillard puts the Bucks back ahead by a point.
Bucks are headed to the final of the NBA Cup. They will play either the Houston Rockets or the Oklahoma City Thunder. That game is slated to tip off in about 20 minutes from now in Las Vegas. Bucks have obviously already seen the Houston Rockets, but It's a Thunder team that I know a lot of people picked to win the West coming into the season. They were the number one seed a year ago. They added pieces in the offseason. Isaiah Hartenstein, who is back now from his injury. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has arguably been the MVP in the league so far this season. You added Alex Caruso as well. So there's a lot of pieces. And it has historically been maybe the best defense in, if not the history of the league, at least the last 25 years, what the Oklahoma City Thunder have been off to so far this season. So either one of those opponents is going to present a number of challenges for the Bucks. They are both the younger teams, you know, coming into this. The Hawks, a young team. The Thunder, a very young team. The Rockets, a young team. And then you had the Bucks, who were the who let this team in here type of view. From it.
What did Doc say? Wheeling in the wheelchairs.
Well, yeah, and like whatever his question was from a reporter the other day when they had their media day was kind of setting that up, and Doc could see where it was going. Of, hey, Doc, you've got, you know, the Hawks are here, the Rockets are in it, and Doc just immediately, we're the old team. Yeah, we know. We're the old guys. But Brandon, what stood out to me today is I think we've talked about transition defense with this group before, and that, look, you're probably going to give up a lot of transition opportunities the way that this roster is structured. You just kind of live with it. You're not going to crash the offensive boards. You're going to get caught in limbo at times. And Quinn Snyder talked about this too, that was the biggest thing that he preached to his team. It was something that I think really stood out last year with this Bucks team for bad reasons, that they were the team that was oftentimes in limbo, where it was, should we get back in transition? Should we be crashing the offensive glass? Doc mentioned this as soon as he took over, too, that it wasn't just that, but it was the guys that would crash, where you would think, well, why in the world are you crashing the glass when you're behind the three-point line right now, or you're a guard? Like, you're not the one we want going after that. The Hawks clean that up. It's done a number of good things for them. The Bucks are still giving up a pretty high volume of transition opportunities. And again, it's probably unavoidable because of the makeup of the roster. But the important part is personnel. And we've heard Doc Rivers talk about this quite a bit this season, of your offense has to put your defense in a good spot. They did not do that early in the season, certainly in the first 10 games when you're off to a 2-8 start. But you would think about some of the shot selection, and it just seemed like a turnstile of, you know, I've talked about this before in the broadcasts too. We saw a decent amount of missed shots at the rim from guys like Giannis too. And when that happens, it's a double-edged sword, because you're not scoring and your rim protection is on the wrong side of the floor. So you lose out on 2 points and you're basically gift wrapping 2 or 3 points on the other end. A lot of that has been cleaned up. A lot of it has to do with, you can see too. And I know it's one thing that you'll hear fans and listeners say a lot of, like, why didn't he try to get that rebound? I mean, you don't want him to. You know, like when the shot goes up and if it's bounced around, and, well, why didn't he really go after that? Why didn't he dive on the floor for it? I'm not just saying you should never do that, but there's a time and a place for it. And you don't want Brook Lopez chasing down that second bounce near the basket, or Chris Middleton doing that, because you're probably not going to get it. And when that happens, you got one fewer guy on the other end of the floor. So once that shot goes up, you know, I think we all like laughed at it when you would see Steph Curry celebrate after putting up the shot. But you do want to see a decent amount of that. If once it's up there, okay, we know you three, you guys aren't going for the board. We got one guy that's going for it. The others just get back in transition. Same with the shooter there. I think they've done a much better job of getting to that place. Part of it is, a big part of it is, the structure of the offense. And it's only going to get better now with Chris Middleton back. But while they're giving up a high volume of those opportunities, they have been much better the last 4 weeks especially, but again, since November 1st, of limiting the amount of points that opponents are scoring in those spots. Their efficiency defensively in transition has gotten much better. And look, I know it's not the easiest way to digest it because this is an audio show, but the way that you view transition is, how many points did you create in transition? If we're led to believe your offense is, if we give you 100 possessions, it's going to score 120 points, how many additional points are you creating in transition with your offense? Because in theory, it should be creating offense. Should be adding points, not subtracting them. Today, in this game, the Bucks added 7 points on average per 100 possessions in transition, which was pretty good, better than the average. The Hawks were at zero. So the Bucks really shut that down. Now, it's not to say there were no blips, especially in the first half, and I think Doc Rivers talked about it as well. You gave up transition on makes. You gave up those fast break points off of made shots. But you didn't see quite as much of that in the second half. And when it was just getting out and running off of defensive rebounds for the Hawks, the Bucks were excellent today.
And I feel like they've I don't know, you know, the trend over the last month or so, Justin, but it feels like that's kind of how teams have identified on trying to beat the Bucks. And you out of the TV broadcast for TNT had the coaches wired up, and they were Quinn Snyder was talking about even on a make basket for the Bucks, they were trying to push that ball up the court, and I thought the Bucks had a better plan around that. But I also think that their personnel, they've identified their personnel a little bit better to begin to where they were at the beginning of the year. I think when you have guys like AJ Green and you got his name's slipping me, Andre Jackson Jr. in your lineup, things are a little bit easier. And to your point about the rebounds, because I think I'm there with you as well as far as yelling at my TV or yelling at the radio or basically just yelling at the air of where, you know, the offensive rebounds and the defensive rebounds seem to be kind of an Achilles heel for this team early on. I know right now I think they're in the low 20s as far as ranking, as far as rebounding goes. But look, I think I can live with not chasing down that ball because two things are going to happen. Well, there's a few more things that could happen. But like you said, you're going to lose a transition bucket. You're going to concede points. Or the whistle's going to blow, and it's going to be a foul on, you know, more than likely the offensive team trying to get that second chance point. You saw it actually in the NBA Cup with the Warriors in Houston. It was a controversy at the end of that game. So I think that's a great point that you make, and I'm fine, honestly, with them getting back in because I think that their offensive efficiency, I know we talked about it at the beginning of the show, will start to creep up, and those chances will minimize. And this is how teams are going to attack them. They're going to try to get out and run on this Bucks team. That's kind of what's being, you know, pushed out there as far as game planning goes. We saw it in the middle of the game today. We saw that we literally heard the coach talking about it. So it's something they're going to have to live with. But I think Justin too, and I don't necessarily have the number in front of me or the stats or the, you know, facts to prove it. But the game feels like it slows down in the playoffs. Feels like it turns into a little bit more of a half court game. Obviously, there's transition buckets and whatnot, but it feels like those possessions, especially late, tend to slow the game down a little bit, and I think that's where the Bucks defensively are obviously more suited to be successful.
855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk, and yes, it does slow down and becomes more half courts of a game once you get to the postseason, but you see it in these types of games as well. We'll know in about 2.5-3 hours from now who it is the Bucks are going to be playing on Tuesday. So we'll take a look at the potential matchup, both of those teams the Bucks could face. And just a big picture, what do these games mean for the Bucks and, you know, other teams? Because we've talked about the boost it can provide to young teams. But what about the Bucks? Is it helpful to them as well? We'll get into that conversation next.
This is Bucks Talk.
Trae Young being crowded outside. He's going to throw it inside ball. Knocked away by Lillard. Picked up by Giannis, and that could be the nail in the coffin. Giannis drives the other way. He's fouled with 9.8 seconds to go. And the Bucks out in front by 6.
Giannis huge today, 32 points, a near triple-double, 4 blocked shots, including a huge one on Clint Capella. And the Bucks defense made stops. They came up with stops down the stretch and win this one again. The second-best defensive rating in clutch situations in the league this season. The Bucks number 2, the Orlando Magic number 1, and it just speaks to what we've largely seen for the last month or so from this group. You saw it, which, I get if your antenna's up a bit and you say, look, we saw a bit of a bounce last year defensively when Doc Rivers took over, and then the wheels started to fall off, which they did. It's a different roster. There's different personnel, and I think one of the bigger talking points that I certainly made quite a bit over the summer on a number of platforms was, you know, this roster just makes sense now. And last year, I think the biggest thing that didn't make sense was your backcourt. It's not to take away from Malik Beasley, but I remember being at Media Day last year and sitting next to a few people when we were told by Adrian Griffin and Malik Beasley himself, yeah, I'm going to be taking on those primary assignments, and I'm going to be the starting two guard. I'm going to take on the toughest defensive assignments. I remember having the conversation with a prominent Bucks writer of, wait a minute, what did he just say? That's certainly a strategy, and that's what they went with for the year. But well, I don't mean this as a shot at Malik Beasley, because it made sense when you signed Malik Beasley, the roster itself. You still had Drew Holiday. You didn't acquire Damian Lillard until basically the eve of training camp. And Malik Beasley makes sense playing next to Drew Holiday. He's the guy that can get pretty open catch and shoot threes. He gives you the offense. Drew Holiday's there to take on the defense. But it wasn't just that piece. It was everything. You didn't have a chance to really properly structure your roster, because everything was kind of thrown out September, 28, 27, whenever it was that you acquired Damian Lillard. Yeah. This year, you knew coming into the offseason, all right, disappointing, to put it mildly, that you lose in the first round 2 years in a row. But I think it was an easier pill to swallow, looking for no other reason than, hey, we experienced this last year. But Giannis didn't play in that series. Dame missed two games in that series. It was a very, very weird season where you had three head coaches that calendar year, or in a span of 12 months, I should say. It never really felt right. It felt like, what is going on here? So in many ways, the season ending, it felt like, okay, let's regroup. Let's decompress, regroup, and take a chance to take a step back and fix this. That's what they did. You knew, okay, we got Dame, we've got Chris Middleton, we've got Giannis, we know we've got Brooke Lopez too, because Chris and Brooke were free agents the previous summer. So we know we've got this core together. We have a full offseason where we don't anticipate major changes. How do we add the pieces that make sense around this? Gary Trent Jr. makes more sense for this team than Malik Beasley did. Taurean Prince makes a lot more sense than Jay Crowder, who, congrats to Jay, back in the league with the Sacramento Kings. Taurean Prince has been great for this team. Mm-hmm. Delon Wright, who we have not seen since Chris Middleton returned. Delon Wright, still, you know what to expect from him. He makes more sense as a combo guard or backup point guard on a team with Damian Lillard than Cameron Payne, who was your backup point guard a year ago, even Pat Beverly late last season. So you really had a chance to look at, we know it's vet minimums that we're dealing with, but who can we get that makes sense with this group? And also, Doc Rivers talked about this last year. Look, I don't know much about the young guys because I didn't get a chance to really see much of them. We didn't have a whole lot of practice days. You had a full offseason to do that and a full camp to do that and really start to find out what are their strengths, how can I utilize them the most and best and put them in positions to succeed. And we've seen that, you know, like Giannis playing at an MVP level is certainly the biggest, single biggest thing in the Bucks being at this level right now. But the young guys, you know, like the boost that you've gotten from Andre Jackson Jr. and Doc Rivers, again, I'll keep saying this until I'm blue in the face. He deserves an immense amount of credit for the way that they're playing Andre Jackson Jr., because a lot of coaches would have looked at it and said, everything that we've talked about on this show, I don't know what his shot profile is. I don't know what he does well offensively. He can't shoot. It's going to be a challenge to play him on the floor with Giannis at the same time. And Doc Rivers is certainly aware of that, because we still see games where, you know, Andre plays 8 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Today he played 25 minutes, but you'll still see those games. But But rather than throwing the baby out with the bathwater, Doc Rivers has had the approach of, okay, when it becomes too much, or when we see them saying, okay, we're going to play 5-on-4 defensively because we don't respect his shot, that's when we'll reevaluate the minutes. It's not just the standing, can't play him because I don't trust him. And I know we've had this discussion with the previous coaches before, and I know Doc Rivers. We had callers having this discussion about Doc Rivers a year ago. But I can assure you, it is not just Bud and Doc Rivers that have a hesitancy to play young guys. It is league-wide, depending on the situation you're in, when you're in the spot the Bucks are in, that you expect to be competitive and competing for championships. You don't see a whole lot of young guys getting heavy minutes. As much as you want to throw Dante DiVincenzo out there with the yeah buts, who else? Show me who else the last 7 years. Like, yeah, we've seen the type of player Dante is, too. I think that was a different situation. So those guys have been a huge part of it, too, and Doc Rivers deserves credit there.
I think, Justin, you're making a great case for our guy John Horst, Exec of the Year, because I completely agree with you. I tweeted out in, I think it was in August, that I said the Bucks are having the offseason that nobody's really talking about, and it felt like it was under the radar, and obviously these are vet men's. They didn't really go out and make a bunch of trades, you know, not like they did, you know, acquiring Damian Lillard. They weren't in the headlines for teams that, you know, were making moves, but it made sense. And obviously you start the year 2-8, and that's what's going to get discussed. But Gary Trent Jr. had a struggle to the beginning of the year, and we saw him snap out of that, and he's fit this team perfectly. I mean, and like you said, AJ Green stepping up, Andre Jackson Jr. stepping up, Brooke Lopez has been fantastic. It's an older roster. Now you're getting Chris Middleton back in the mix, but everybody has a role on this team. And when you're like, DeLon Wright gets a lot of Bucks fans on social media like to point out DeLon Wright. But what he has been able to do for this Bucks team when he has to come in, you're not going to get 20 points out of him, but you're going to get 5 steals, man. You're going to get solid backup minutes, and you're going to get minutes that, you know, are valuable to be able to rest your guy Damian Lillard for late in the game. Now, obviously, Chris Middleton comes in and changes a little bit of the dynamics, but we've talked about it before, Justin. These are good problems to have. You have multiple ways to attack different teams, both offensively as well as defensively.
I mean, DeLon Wright is an insurance policy.
And sure.
It's, yeah. Pat Connaughton is an insurance policy. Sure. And again, I'll die on this hill. Pat Connaughton's been pretty good this season. Like,
saw a lot of good games out of him this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's had at least 3 or 4 very good games this season. The athleticism is not there anymore, sure, but Doc knows when to use him, and I think that's the number one thing that he deserves a ton of credit for, is so far, at least, he's pulled the right strings with the young guys, with the vets, and who plays and who doesn't. Again, to have absolute buy-in and not hear any type of griping over Chris Middleton coming off the bench, which I don't think is the permanent solution here. It's part of working him back in the mix. Yeah. But Torian Prince seeing his minutes reduced when Chris Middleton made his return. DeLon Wright, as we mentioned, hasn't played even before that. DeLon Wright was out of the rotation. Gary Trent Jr. shifting to the bench and coming off the bench. Like, he's embraced that role. So you've had total buy-in with this group, and I think the last name to mention when you talk about the job that the Bucks have done in the offseason is not even a player, and that is Greg Buchner and what he's brought to this team with the defense that, again, somewhat similar personnel with Cleveland, but Greg Buchner took that Cavaliers team and had them for, what, 4 years, 5 years that he was there as the associated coach. They were basically a top 10 defense, if not higher, every single year that he was there with, again, 2 bigs. One that was more of your traditional rim protector. One that was a guy that could kind of do everything as a hybrid. A rim protector, a guy that could play out on the perimeter. In Evan Mobley as that guy. Jared Allen, your traditional rim protector. Okay defensive pieces on the perimeter. I mean, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland are not standout defensive players, but they still made that group elite and, at worst, right around where this Bucks defensive unit has been performing of late. I think Greg Buchner deserves a ton of credit for that, and the guy's really buying into this system that he's brought here.
And again, Justin, just to emphasize your point, Doc Rivers deserves a lot of credit for that coaching staff, man, because it is really, really deep, and it's really, really good. And that's why I said even during that rough stretch to the beginning of this year and guys weren't just hitting shots and we were fighting injuries, I said this is the right coach for the right team for the right season. And I don't think I'm breaking news when I say it's a championship or bust type of year for this team. Like, this is the expectations in Milwaukee, and you got to have a coach like Doc Rivers who has been around, knows what he's doing, has surrounded himself with great coaches. You know, Darvin Ham, you mentioned Buckner, Dave, I always mess up his name. Jaeger, is it Jaeger?
Dave Jaeger, yeah.
Dave Jaeger. I mean, those are good. Those are really good coaches, and that's a credit to Doc Rivers. Obviously, that's a credit to John Horst, and we're starting to see I think we're starting to see the Bucks team that we all thought we were going to get. I mean, competitive in every game, for the most part in it, you know, close games, clutch situations, and being able to win in different ways. And that's kind of what we've seen over the last, almost going on in the last 2 months. I know we're about halfway through December, last at least 45 days.
Dave Jaeger has been a head coach. Darvin Ham has been a head coach. Joe Prunty has been an interim head coach. Yep. Greg Buckner was an associate head coach for 4 or 5 years. So it's a much different coaching staff as well. Momentarily, any moment now, we have the Western Conference semifinal being played between the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll take a look at that. Is there one team that's a better matchup for the Bucks than the other? And wrap things up after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
That there were more than the 24 hours. Tuesday night, the Bucks play in the NBA Cup Final. It'll be either the Houston Rockets or the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm assuming it's going to be the Thunder that win this game, and that's the challenge that the Bucks will have on Tuesday night. It's a 7:30 tip, so 7 o'clock is when our pregame coverage will begin for the NBA Cup Final. But, Brandon, as we close here, we've made so much, or you've heard so much made about what this environment can do for young teams. And Rick Carlisle talked about this. Doc Rivers has pointed out a number of times, like, hey, Rick Carlisle himself said, I don't think the Pacers reach the conference finals and start to gain that confidence and play the way they did last year if it weren't for their run into the final of the NBA Cup. And even teams like the Magic, like getting those types of moments and experiences in games that feel like playoff games. We've talked a lot about what it can do for young teams that haven't necessarily been there before, but even though this is a team that, you know, save for Damian Lillard and the new pieces, have championship experience and have been there and have been through a lot of postseason games together, and Chris Middleton and Giannis and Brooke and Bobby, I think it's just as big for the Bucks, for a team that's lost in the first round 2 years in a row and still trying to figure out, how does this fit? Like, last year, we kept looking for those moments in clutch situations and like, oh, well, look, when this group's on the floor together, their net rating is really good and they've been good in clutch situations. But you just didn't get a chance to see it in the playoffs because of that Giannis injury. So I don't think it's quite as meaningless for the Bucks, even, a team that's still figuring things out with new personnel. Like, getting a taste of what feels like a playoff game, I think it's just as big for this group.
Absolutely, Justin. Man, spot on, because I could not agree more. And, I mean, again, shout out to the NBA, Adam Silver. I mean, the NBA Cup, man, has been, to me, it's been a lot of fun. I was actually defending the NBA Cup at work on Friday with some of our GKB teammates, and some of them were asking, do you tune in? Do you not tune in? What is it? It seems gimmicky, blah, blah, blah. The fact of the matter is the NBA, their goal, they accomplished. They wanted to create meaningful basketball, you know, before January and have an incentive and have these games sort of matter. And they do matter. I mean, the players are telling you that they matter. I mean, they're locked in. Giannis will always tell you how he's feeling. Doc Rivers will tell you always what's on his mind. And he's telling you that they want to win these games. And we needed these minutes. And I'm really glad that Chris Middleton was able to come back, Justin, when he did, because it is so crucial for me as a fan to watch my big three together. And we can call them meaningful, you know, or meaningless games all we want, but if they're telling you that they want to win, and to see those big three go into these games that matter to them and be able to figure out late game situations like we saw today. Now, it wasn't pretty. You know, there was a couple possessions, you know, with Chris Middleton out of bounds, side out of bounds. And those are good learning points that we might not get if it's a meaningless game in December 14th and who cares if you win or lose. There's no money on the line and whatnot. Those guys, I just think it's valuable. I think it's valuable for a team that hasn't been together. You know, they talked about it on the television broadcast that the Big Three hasn't played a playoff series together. Like, again, this isn't the playoffs, but these games, it feels like a playoff game. You and I were at Pfizer for the Orlando Magic. Everybody was on their feet. I mean, it felt like a playoff game. And again, you can discuss the NBA Cup, you know, good and bad. I think it's good. You know, people are tuning in. My mom is texting me, you know, freaking out with less than a minute. Like, she's a casual NBA fan, Justin, and she's tuning in because it's the NBA Cup and it's a tournament type, and she wants to see the Bucks advance, and the NBA succeeded in doing, I think, what they set out to do.
I do wonder, too, if there was a little bit of chatter of, like, man, I bet the league is not happy that the Rockets beat the Warriors, and looking at the prospects of no LeBron, no Steph, no Kevin Durant, and all this.
Small markets.
Right. Like, I do wonder if Adam Silver is breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief now of, okay, we've at least potentially got Giannis and Damian Lillard versus the upstart Oklahoma City Thunder to the cell. Because, you and I and people like us, we're going to watch it regardless. But, if this was Hawks versus Houston Rockets, I don't quite know what the ratings would be for that come Tuesday. But it has done a good job of promoting teams more than individuals. And, I mean, it's a much larger discussion that should not take place here. It could certainly take multiple shows when you talk about interest in the league and ratings and all of that chatter. Part of it is, I mean, most of the conversation you hear is about off-season and players that aren't playing and things of that nature. So this, you've seen the competition up. You've seen stars playing in it. You've seen new guys and new stars being cultivated and teams being presented versus the individuals. And I think that is the biggest benefit of the NBA Cup here. And again, getting that experience for young teams and rejuvenating teams like the Bucks, as we saw today with the Bucks now headed to the final of the NBA Cup. So either the Houston Rockets or the Oklahoma City Thunder, that game is going to tip off in just a couple of minutes now. So a chance to do some scouting and see the next opponent for the Bucks. We've seen the Rockets. We have not seen the Thunder yet. But Tuesday night, 7:30 is when that game will tip off, and we'll see who is the second ever NBA Cup champion. That'll do it for tonight. Tuesday night, 7:30 tip. 7 o'clock is when our coverage begins on these airwaves. And as always, Brandon and I will be back after that one with Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.